Chapter 18. Cracked Moon. It was the fourth day since he had met Brother Chao Ji. Wait, that was incorrect. Bidi paused in his thoughts and recentered himself. Why did he think that? Brother Chao Ji was indeed important, but to think of him before the great master, he was a disloyal disciple for that. He would need to perform some sort of penance for this. After he was finished in this stage of his cultivation, of course. It was the seventh day since the great master had left. Brother Chao Ji's pills had increased his power greatly. He could see the great pillars of this stage of his cultivation, the barriers between this stage and the next. Soon he would break past them and truly ascend. He would be the mightiest cock in the realm. The thought was heady. It had him driven to obsession, to gather his strength, to make himself mighty for his great master. He needed more power. He needed to cultivate more. The Black Furs would take care of the menial labor. That was what they were there for. Faram did not need his attention. He would serve it better from his current position. He had to cycle his chi. He had to cycle his chi. All day he sat upon the great pillars. He did not move to eat. Food was brought to him by teams of his servants who gathered for him his normal meal, even including some of the interlopers from the heavenly herbs. When the Black Fur came to give him his pill, he ate it without thinking, totally focused upon his task. Brother Chao Ji had his best interests at heart, and he had to keep cultivating. He had to get stronger. She had no name. She was small and weak, but she knew. She knew the Great One was in danger. Wicked Chao Ji had deceived the mighty and righteous bird with his pills and foul magics. Chao Ji was twisting and corrupting the great bird, but she had no idea how to help. The Great One was so consumed with his cultivation that he had wholly disregarded her when she tried to speak with him, to warn him. He would hear nothing of her pitiful squeaks, and she knew she could not oppose Chao Ji directly. She kept her act like she was like the others of her kin, but she knew the Old One was smart. He would see through her eventually, and then he would take her. She would be the mother of the next generation, the mother of Chao Ji's brood. Ones that knew were rare. While the rest of her kin could follow orders, they had no true spark to call their own. They simply acted out the knowing one's actions. They were like the ones that held the same form as the great Bidi, filled with energy that could be used, but dumb. And Chao Ji had been waiting for a female to use ever since his mate died in the great purge that had destroyed their colony. And so the little one fretted. She could not oppose Chao Ji physically or with her tiny amount of chi. That was doomed to failure. So instead, she watched him and took note of his spells, how their energy moved, and how she could neutralize it. Hopefully. Now she sat in the pen near the giants, behind a bucket and hidden from view. The smell was intense. Her kin were reluctant to come near this place, for the giants bellowed rage and hatred and attempted to stomp and crush any interloper. Here she practiced with her minuscule chi, and in her mind's eye, she wove and unwove Chao Ji's magics. She didn't know if she could do such a thing while he was actively resisting her, but she had to try. Try for the gallant and mighty warrior who had saved her, who had cared, who would not just use her like Chao Ji used the others. She was so consumed with her own thoughts that she didn't notice the giants until they had snuck up on her. There were no stomping feet to alert her, no enraged squeals. A great gust of wind from their nostrils assaulted her, and the two giants beheld her tiny form. Their eyes were narrowed with wrath and hate. The larger of the two opened his mouth, revealing the beginnings of large tusks, ready to tear and rend. She froze and felt despair. They would surely slay her as they had tried to slay all others. She was not fast enough to run, not powerful enough to fight, and if she could not help her savior, then her life truly was worthless. The giant's noses approached her. She closed her eyes and waited for the end. It was the fifth day since he had met Brother Chao Ji. His breakthrough was so close. He needed just that little bit more. something that was even more potent to push him beyond. He cast his senses around Faram, trying to find anything he could use for that final push. He noticed the energy of the land and followed the twisting power into the ground. We give to the land, and the land gives back. Vidi, as was proper, took a portion of his energy and offered it to the land. He did so unthinkingly, while another voice derided such an action as useless. One does not give to take. They took. But someone important had said this to him, so he obeyed the voice that asked he give. The land reached out for his energy and recoiled. The land fled from his chi. He was stunned. And then he was enraged. How dare the land reject his gift? He took care of it. He nurtured it. It should be thankful that he even considered it worth his thoughts. We give to the land, and the land gives back, his great master's gentle voice instructed. Bidi paused. Something was wrong here. But what? What had changed? What was happening?
Brother Bidi!
Chao Ji's voice cut through his confusion. Brother Chao Ji would know what to do, for he was wise.
We are ready to make the most great powerful pill yet. Come, come, you must see witness this.
Bidi obeyed, journeying with Brother Chao Ji to the spirit furnace. It was upon its scaffold, and all of the small black furs were gathered around it, as well as the hens and the chicks, the entirety of his flock. Their legs were tied, and they were cooing worriedly. Bidi hesitated. What was the meaning of this?
This is the way method of the world, Brother Bidi,
Chao Ji said. His grin spread across his entire face.
The strong take steal what they need, whatever they need. These are good fine reagents. Their lives exist for us to use, take as we please. In eating, consuming these, you will truly be strong.
Yes, they are full of power, aren't they?
He absently remembered something eating a hen, and it being good, just like the heavenly herbs. His eyes turned to the pots of growth. How many should he use in addition to these worthless lives? What he saw rattled him to his core. The pots that should have been brimming with vibrant green life were nearly empty. The small forest of green shoots that should have been there were devastated and harvested, far in excess of what they would be able to grow back from. A few sprigs of heavenly herbs were all that were left, chewed on and desecrated, surrounded by black fur droppings. The land recoiled from his chi. The heavenly herbs had been ransacked. There was a bag of rice overturned, its contents consumed and soiled. Bidi's eyes whipped around. There was filth. There was devastation. The grass around the spirit furnace was wilting. We give to the land, and the land gives back. This was wrong. He felt horror in his gut as something brushed up against his chi, something small and helpful, demanding that he truly see. It was like the scales were torn from his eyes. The gentle nudges, the strange thoughts that corrupted him, the foreign chi in his body. Wrath burned like a star in his breast. How dare this disgusting little creature soil the land so? It courted death. No, if there was a fate worse than death, the creature welcomed it with open arms. The black fur had desecrated blessed Faram. It had perverted it, twisted it, taken advantage of his kindness. His head snapped around to the wicked Chao Ji, whose eyes narrowed. His heavenly blade sprung from his legs, and to his dismay, the once pure moonlight was riddled with streaks of red energy and cracks of black. It bled into the air around him, its edge snapping and sizzling instead of being proper, perfectly formed crescents. It was proof of deception most foul. The holy light was tainted. His very soul had been stained by this beast's acts. He turned to strike this interloper, this kin of Vasibushi, for that was only what Chao Ji could be. His leg raised high, ready to purge the wicked who dared to abuse the sacred rites of hospitality.
How very disappointing.
Internal impunity tremor. The tiny black flecks in Bidi's body, so small that he had ignored them, spasmed as Chao Ji's chi touched them. They expanded and grew like weeds, tearing outwards with sharp spines. They drove into his muscles, innards, and chi, shredding and corrupting whatever they encountered. Bidis screamed. His holy blades guttered and died. He stumbled, flailing. The agony was all-consuming. Blood poured out of his mouth as the malevolent technique took hold, ravaging his body like the black furs had ravaged the land. Bidi fell to his knees, nearly kowtowing before Chao Ji. He glared hatefully up at the interloper, attempting to kill him or at least curse him with merely the rage in his gaze. Chao Ji simply chuckled, but his eyes were curious.
How did you brick escape my technique? Impure earthly desires is something I have perfected, refined over the decades,
Chao Ji asked, placing his great master-like paw upon him. The black fleck spasmed again, drawing a fresh wail from Bidi. A fog started to cloud his mind as brother Chao Ji began to work his foul chi.
It is no matter. Soon it shall be complete.
There were two triumphant squeals. Chunky and Pipa's home broke open, the gate nearly flying off its hinges as the howling beasts thundered out. Their eyes were wide and wild. Their trotters tore up the earth as they made their charge, aiming directly for their hated foe. The rest of the black furs squeaked in terror at the rampaging beasts. The chi acting in Bidi paused, and the rats snorted.
Very, very well. Chao Ji shall play toy with you.
Chao Ji's ire was clear. He stood from the defeated form of Bidi. There was a sickening snap as his once hunched back straightened, raising up to his full height. He threw off his cloak. Bidi was disgusted by what he saw. His form dared to take after the great master, but it was twisted, a perversion. Some of his fur was receding off his chest, revealing smooth flesh filled with sculpted muscle. His skin was pallid and was crisscrossed with twisting veins. He had hands, not paws. His legs looked wrong, like they were in the middle of transitioning from a normal rat's leg to something human. Chao Ji flexed, his balance unsteady from these changes, and he was only kept upright by his worm-like tail. It was a blasphemy against the way of the world. Only through corruption could such a thing be done. Bidi was disgusted, revolted, yet he could only watch, unable to move.
Restrict, Bidi. I shall be done finished shortly,
Chao Ji commanded, and the black furs hastened to obey. The black fur lord moved. He was slower than Bidi when the rooster was at his prime, but it was enough. He met Chunki's charge with one of his own. The great porcine beast tried to trample him, snarling with wrath, but even unbalanced and old, Chao Ji's strikes were too powerful. He struck Chunki in the leg, his odd almost fingers curled into a claw, and the great squealing beast bowled over, rolling to a stop. There was a three-lined gash across his shin, a painful blow, but Chunki swiftly returned to his feet, snarling and snorting. He winced at the pain, then pawed at the ground, resuming his charge, tearing after the speeding form of the corrupted creature assaulting his home. The other black furs approached with ropes of grass. They needn't have bothered, so weak was he. His insides were on fire, both from agony and shame. How could he have been deceived so easily? How could he have let such damage come to the great master's home? He pressed his forehead into the ground. He apologized to the earth. He apologized to the hens. He apologized even to Chunki and Pipa for subjecting them to this. Finally, he apologized to his lord for being such an unworthy beast. He could not, however, apologize to himself. This was a deserved fate, and now he would either die or be enslaved. Chao Ji struck, dancing around stomping trotters and snapping tusks. Pipa was slammed onto her side, throwing her bulk into the grass. He whirled with unnatural grace and struck Chunki a second time, directly in the head. His curled fingers carved three massive rents in Chunki's face, revealing the white of bone beneath. Blood sprayed into the air from the horrific wound, but this was not the true blow. Before Chunki could even squeal, Chao Ji's chi pulsed, driving itself into the fresh wound. It was wrong. It was disgusting as it slithered in and burrowed deep. Chunki may have been able to weather merely physical blows, but this was too much. Bidi's heart seized at the scream of agony and terror that ripped from Chung Ki, the pig's eyes rolling back into his head as he collapsed, twitching and seizing. At least Bidi took solace in the fact that the Great Master would be there soon, and this horror would be over. There would be a reckoning for these creatures. The Black Furs would be defeated like Bidi defeated the creatures that ate the plants by his lord's might and majesty. Ah, how he wished to see his master's true power, laying low the wicked. He hoped his energy would be returned to the Great Master if he was worthy of such an honor. More likely, his corpse would be discarded and burned, for not even the land could find anything within such a worthless creature. Bidi closed his eyes and awaited the end. Two little paws landed on his back. Some of the agony disappeared.
"Please, Great One, you must get up."
The little black fur stared at him with both hope and concern. It was the one he had saved, the one who had sworn her service. "We give to the land, and the land gives back." The little one who he had saved now returning the favor. No, this was not for his great master to see, not for the great master to solve. Bidi had caused this problem with his naivete, and so he would fix it. When his lord returned, he would find his home once more pristine. The blades of cracked moonlight formed. Bidi staggered and rose as the vicious little creatures leapt at him, spurred by their master's command. Wheel of the crescent moon. The surging black furs, intent on restraining him, perished. They were torn in half by the whirling kick as a ring of burning silver energy formed around him. They were torn and not cut perfectly as his chi hissed angrily. The blades were larger than he was used to, sparking and snapping, filling the air with energy. Ragged things rather than perfect crescents. The little one looked at him, her dark eyes wide. Bidi lowered his head.
"Please, I need your aid," he whispered, lowering himself and gesturing to his back.
She obeyed, and once more there was blessed relief as her chi circled around the impurities in his body. He swayed, unsteady on his feet, but he was still standing. He was weak, but he persevered. Chung Ki was laid out on the ground, unconscious and bleeding heavily. Pipa fought with reckless abandon, her eyes bloodshot and her squeals thunderously piercing. Her fury and grief mixed together into a sound of haunting madness. With one last strike, Pipa fell too, onto her side and panting.
"Ah, you will be tasty, tasty, a fine good pill,"
Chao Ji said. His breath was heavy with exertion. His strange half-human legs wobbled. He was tiring, but he still looked able to fight.
The years have taken their toll. Soon, soon, though, I shall once more break through.
He turned to Bidi, amused.
"Good, good. Mighty strong indeed you are to stand. Now, be good obedient and sit. This Chao Ji shall be with you soon."
Slowly, arrogantly, he pointed his fingers at Bidi, like his victory was already assured. Internal impurity tremor. The shards of black wrenched, but the little black fur's chi did its work, protecting and shielding him from being affected. This time, there was no pain, no scream. His chi mingled with another's, and both were stronger for it. They were stronger together. Bidi took a step forward, and Chao Ji's eyes widened. His face twisted with incredulity as his chi surged again, trying to take hold. Bidi struck. His legs wobbled, but his cracked lunar blade searched for his foe, screaming with coursing energy and streaming off into the air. Each movement was agony, the impurity, even coated in soothing energy, ripping and tearing with every step. But he fought through the pain. Chao Ji had to be defeated, here and now. They clashed. Chao Ji was old and skilled. His arms and body flashed as he aimed for the gaps in the blade's coverage, blocking, deflecting, and dodging, trying his hardest to return a blow. Bidi had sharpened his spurs upon the wicked Basibushi. He was no stranger to a battle where a single mistake meant death, and he wove around Chao Ji's own strikes. The little one had buried beneath his vest as to not be thrown off, all while protecting him from the internal tremors of the interloper's foul chi. Within three exchanges, Chao Ji was panicking. His eyes were wide and wild as Bedee started to move faster, an incomplete dodge drawing blood off the wicked beast's side.
You worthless creature thing! You dare use this power against me! I, who have given you this strength, I have freed you from serving your great master, the cheerless wretch! He is a squatter on land too good for him. You could have been mighty. You could have been lord of this place.
Bedee nearly laughed at the fool. Chowji had eyes, but he could not see Mount Tai. How could he not feel the great master's might? It was all around them. Bedee could have taunted Chowji. He could have laughed at the sheer ignorance the beast displayed. Instead, he let his spurs speak. Slashes appeared on Chowji's limbs as Bedee struck with grace beyond the old villain. He danced around the clumsy and desperate return strikes. Chowji's eyes were wide and wild. He screamed and he ranted, spittle flying from his mouth. Fool. The rising of the crescent moon. Bedee's blades burned as he rose in the sky as surely as the moon. His spurs caught under Chowji's ribcage, tore him open and exposed his heart, which pumped feebly into the air. Bedee landed and shook the gore from his legs, gazing contemptuously at the defeated interloper. Chowji hacked and gagged, gasping feebly for air as his life drained into the ground around him. Bedee allowed it. His suffering was good and just.
I curse you,
Chowji gagged. His chi gathered as he managed to stand, his entrails hanging out. The rooster held his ground, watching and ready to dodge. He would not be underestimating this particular foe.
I curse this land! May be covered, consumed in a tide of vermin!
Chowji screamed, his chi and blood mingling in the air. Darkness gathered in his palms, blood leaked from his mouth, and the air around the monstrous creature writhed with malice. Curse of vermin. Bedee's eyes widened as Chowji drove his hatred and chi into the ground around him, poisonous tendrils driving deep. He screamed in hate and pain, howling his hatred to the heavens, until Bedee's blades took his head. The valiant defender collapsed to his knees. Then the pulse hit. The little one squeaked in alarm as she felt something brush against her chi, but her proximity to the chi of the moon let her shake off the feeling, though her body twitched and shook, and Bedee could feel the pulse of her heat through his feathers. The rest of the black furs howled. Their eyes rolled and their mouths frothed. They started biting and clawing at the land around them, half mad from whatever happened. Some of them fled. Some of them died outright, suddenly seizing, and some launched themselves at Bedee, intent on consuming him. The horde squealed, hate and madness driving their every action. Bedee struggled to stand. He could not fall to such weak creatures. He could not be defeated so easily, even spent as he was. He rose, ready to do battle. The great trotter of Sister Pipa landed on one of them, and her great bulk crushed two more. She thrashed and stomped, though her body was battered and bruised, as she struck down the remainder of the enemies. When her bloody work was completed, she turned and glared at the rooster, snarling in chastisement. Bedee bowed his head, humbled, and staggered to his feet. There was much work to be done before the great master returned. The little one scampered out of his vest to aid in Sister Pipa fussing over the fallen form of Chung Ki. He was breathing, but Bedee grimaced. He was absolutely exhausted, yet he was alive. A half-blind old woman stared at the carving of a rooster. It had a massive crack that had started spreading over its back, growing every day. Today, if the growth followed the same pace, the rooster would have split in half. Instead, the wood hung on, cracked but unbroken. The old woman harrumphed and put it back on the shelf before glancing around the room and frowning.
Lanfan! Lanfan, you devil goat! Where are you?
She demanded, stomping outside. It was late in the day when Bedee felt the land breathe a sigh of relief. The grass stood taller, the air seemed sweeter, and the taint in the ground felt like it shuddered. The great master was approaching. They had dismantled the scaffolding, buried the corpses, and cleaned as much of the droppings as they could. Brother Chung Ki had even woken back up, though he simply lay there, groaning and whining in piteous pain. His eyes seemed duller, and Bidi was concerned. Now, Bidi looked upon the spirit furnace, the wretched thing that offered its tainted power. His master would surely not want it. His blades of moonlight, his tainted blades, and the price for his foolishness, bit into the furnace and destroyed it. Bidi limped to the entrance to Pharam and awaited his great master's arrival and judgment.